Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Find out about new shows, featured guests, and what's up this week. Find us on Facebook by searching keyword Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. What happens after the game wraps up, either when the day is done or the professional career is done? We'll take a look at what your favorite athletes are doing when they aren't in the game. Now, here is your host, Lamar Campbell.
Welcome back to Life After the Game. I'm your host, Lamar Campbell, coming to you live from the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, the nation's oldest and largest group of broadcast media schools, with 12 convenient locations up and down the East Coast. Give them a call, 1-800-TV-RADIO. Make sure you check them out on the web at www.gocsb.com. Back at a new time. We're back to you on Tuesdays, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific time. New time, new guest. Got a great show lined up for you today. We have Super Bowl champions lined up for you today. I have my good friend Dorsey Levin is going to be coming on the show. We're going to be speaking a little bit about his documentary, Bell Rung, that's going to be premiering tonight in beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. Also has Super Bowl winning champ Eric Matthews going to come on. We're going to talk a little bit about his playing days with Dorsey as well as concussions and what that means to him today as well. And finishing up, one of the hardest hitters in the NFL, Steve Atwater, is going to be stopping by talking about Peyton Manning out there in Denver and what it means for his Denver Broncos with his old teammate John Elway at the helm. It's been a crazy week this week in sports as well. I definitely want to send our condolences out to Andy Reid and the Reid family and all the Philadelphia Eagles up there in Philadelphia for the loss of his son this past weekend. To lose a son at 29 years old, as a father myself, can't imagine to see, can't even imagine what it would be like to actually lose a son. So definitely prayers out to Andy Reid and his family up there in Philadelphia. And Philadelphia Eagles has a lot to prove this week, this year, coming off a disappointing, what some would call a disappointing season last year. Andy Reid has a lot to take care of, so definitely condolences out to his family. That's something that he definitely wants to take care of and get moving forward. We're going to come with you with my man, Anthony Smurf Plumber, is going to be calling in with the sports update. We'll be taking your calls. Give us a call at 1-888-346-9144. 1-888-346-9144. We're going to be taking calls today. Give us your opinions about concussions. You know, what do you think about concussions? You're a father out there, a mother out there. I know a lot of moms right now actually taking their sons out of football. I know that'll be a fight that I'll have to have. My son's a little soccer star, but, you know, whenever Messi can get a $249 million guaranteed contract, maybe soccer may be the way to go these days going forward. So I'm not too mad at that at all. Definitely want to talk a lot about, definitely want to send our condolences out to the Tennessee Titans as well. You know, O.J. Murdoch committed suicide last week. Definitely a tragic story before his NFL career really had a chance to get started. So we definitely want to send our condolences out to him as well. For those who didn't know, O.J. Murdoch, hours after sending a gracious yet puzzling middle-of-the-night text message to a former college coach, Tennessee Titans receiver O.J. Murdoch died in apparent suicide. Just a terrible story, you know, this on the heels of the new NFL program, mental program that they've launched last Wednesday, you know, to know that two or three days after that became official, that O.J. Murdoch lost his life, took his life tragically down there. But, you know, it brings up a good issue. You know, up there in the Chicago Bears, you know, Brandon Marshall actually had a chance to go to a mental health clinic and get himself together. So that's something that we definitely want to talk about moving forward down the line. I'm definitely trying to get Dr. Hatcher, one of the leading mental health here actually out of Morehouse University, on the show to actually talk about that. But let's talk a little about some of the guys that have been diagnosed with mental illness who have went public, and definitely want to give a shout out to him. Former Lion, who I've actually had the opportunity to have on the show, Eric Hipple, 19th round draft pick of the Detroit Lions in 1980. Hipple played 7 seasons as a quarterback. As a player, Hipple kept mostly quiet about his struggles with depression. His depression was very, very severe, so I've had him on the show. We've talked about that mental illness. as well. Ray Lucas, for the New England Patriots, most prominently, most famously, the New York Jets, Baltimore Ravens, and Brandon Marshall and Ricky Williams. You know, definitely trying to get Ricky Williams on the show. Probably the most famous face of mental illness in the NFL. The former Ravens running back, Ricky Williams, retired after 11 seasons after coming out of retirement for the Ravens, Dolphins, and New Orleans Saints, though he rushed for 10,000 career yards. Williams acknowledged that as early as 2005 that he suffers from social anxiety disorder. This disorder affected Williams' relationship with the teammates' response to media and fan scrutiny. His NFL career was a roller coaster of off-field issues, but we're also going to love, we love Ricky Williams. His 30 for 30 was awesome. He wanted to get away and, you know, smoke a little chronic. And, you know, it's his life. You know, it's what he wants to do. What he felt like doing. And to be able to do that and actually come back and compete at the NFL level is really something that's remarkable. And actually was a very big help to the Baltimore Ravens down there in Baltimore. So shout out to my man, Ricky Woods. We would love to have you on the show, Ricky, man. I'd love to get your insight on what you talked about, man, down there when you were on your excursion. Sabbatical, you know, whatever you want to call it, man. But shout out to Ricky Williams. Shout out to those players also for having the courage to actually come out and talk about their mental illness. Cause that's one of the things that I know me and Dorsey are going to get into today to make sure that we talk about as far as his concussions. Nice Olympic wrap up coming up this weekend. Was it just me or was it a Cold War Saturday? You know, it seemed like USA was playing Russia and everything, you know, and everything on Saturday, man. I mean, I thought Drago was going to come out the stands, you know? Yasemia. Y'all remember that for all my 80s listeners out there. Shout out to you guys, for instance. It meant for me. So where's the Drago? You know, we even saw some Russians crying, man. Russians didn't cry back in our Olympics. I don't remember the Russians crying, man. You know, they're pretty stone-faced, man. I never saw so many Russians crying after things, man. So maybe when the Soviet Union broke up, man, maybe they took some of that toughness with them. I don't know, man. But shout out to the Russians, man. Shout out to Drago, my favorite movie Russian ever, man. It never rains in Russia. It's my man Drago. So wait for, got some new sports coming in. Athlete Smurf Plumber is going to be calling in with our sports wrap up. So it's definitely going to be a good one. Shout out to the Olympic women today. Beat down on Canada. Beat them down, actually, you know, 91-48 today. Really wasn't a contest at all. But let's shout out to the U.S. women's soccer team. They definitely gave us a great game yesterday. I mean, you know, it seemed like the hopes of U.S. soccer in the women's hands, ladies. You know, our team couldn't even make the championships this year. So shout out to the ladies doing their thing in the on the soccer field. Shout out to Fab Gab. Gold medals. Shout out to the Olympic team. Got the gold medals. Gabby, first African-American woman to win the all-around Olympic gold medal. I mean, it's something that's very phenomenal for her to achieve, and also something that was for women out there, regardless of color or race, you know, go out there and get that gold medal. You know, it's not often you can go out there and say, you know, you're the best in the world at something. And definitely shout out to my man Michael Phelps. And let's be honest here. He's already focusing on his life after the game or life after the Olympics. But Michael Phelps didn't want to be there. He felt the U.S. pressure. He did it for the U.S., and I definitely respect that now. He's the greatest Olympian now. 22 medals, I believe, 18 gold, 4 silver medals. He really didn't want to be there. You know, everybody wanted it to be Locke's Olympics, and shout out to Locke, too. He had a great Olympics as well. But let's definitely be honest here. You know, he didn't want to be there. He didn't start training until 9 months ago. He lost his first couple of races. Everybody wanted to count him out when he got his bronze medal, and now he's the greatest Olympian that ever lived, and now we have an opportunity to he's probably going to take a boat over to Amsterdam. And have some fun. And why not? He should. Shout out to Michael Phelps, man. He's ready to get his career started. You know, the endorsements may run out, though. It's easy to say that now in 2012. I'm sure he's made some good money. 2016 comes about. He may need a couple of more dollars. He may need some more endorsements. He may not be doing a Subway. Maybe gone. I think he has a Gillette commercial that may be locked. But, you know, Olympic endorsements, you know, Michael Phelps just want to fall back. But I think he's really that type of an athlete where he can actually come and probably win him a couple of more gold medals, get some more endorsements, and get started on his charity. So definitely shout out to Michael Phelps, man. But, you know, NBC, I don't know how much time I got left, but let me go ahead and get started on NBC. I'm going to have my rant a little early. I was going to say that for my have mercy moment at the end of the show. But come on, NBC. You know, I say this all the time. I do a lot of work with, you know, television shows and radio shows. And it's like, you know, focus groups are not overrated. They're not overrated. You know, you really should ask some of the people if they're actually going to watch. You know, with the Twitter world, they should have known that. Now that we're on Twitter and they're live feeding it over the internet, who is actually going to pay attention to the Olympics? Now, and to NBC's argument, is actually the highest rated Olympics that they've had. Shout out to the baby boomers, because we not watching it. It's people that don't know how to use Twitter, don't know how to use the internet, but they're watching it. And I'm not going to lie. I stayed up to watch Michael Phelps. I stayed up to watch the women's of swimming and the men of swimming, you know, win their gold medals. Stayed up to watch Usain Bolt, of course, had to stay up to watch the 100 meters, 400 track. But why they got to put it on at 10:30, 11 o'clock? I don't get it. Give us a call, 1-888-389-9144. Make sure you give us a call and give me your rant, your Have Mercy moment of the weekend, because NBC is kind of blowing me in. I didn't know handball was an Olympic sport. I didn't know what I was watching the other day. I told somebody I could probably get out there and get you 10 points right now, and I'm out of shape. Handball? Are you serious? I think I really could have got a gold medal in handball. Point blank period. A gold medal in handball for me. Shout out to the handball players. I don't understand it. Between handballs and speed biking, anybody watch the speed biking? You know, it's that first lap around the track when they're going about 2 miles an hour. I don't get it. I don't get it. Everyone deserves to get a gold medal. I don't just disagree with some of the sports that are out there now. But back to handball. I just can't get over this handball thing. I mean, some people have the worst fans in the world, the best fans in the world. I believe the fans that stick around for losing teams and losing sports are actually the worst fans in the world. Because you don't hold your team accountable. You don't hold the management accountable. You don't hold the players accountable. I love the Lions. I'm a proud Detroit Lion, and they came to every game when we was 2-14. I think they should have stopped coming to some games. Because then maybe management would have got an idea of how pissed off they were. I think we would have got an idea of how mad they were. I love them to death. Detroit, I love you guys. You're a second home to me. But handball? And people were there to watch the handball. So the less educated are usually the most taken advantage of. So I'm going to go ahead and we got my man Anthony Smurf Plummer on home. We got about 2 minutes. I'm going to bring my man Anthony Smurf Plummer in with a sports wrap-up. Anthony, talk to me, man.
Hey, what's going on, Lamar? How you doing today?
Man, I'm glad to be back, man. New time, same old life after the game. So we're definitely enjoying ourselves, man. We got about 2 minutes left to break, man. So then we talked a little bit about the Olympics, talked a little bit about Andy Reid. We talked a little bit about, the Olympic sports. But give us your fastest 2 minutes roundup of this past weekend featuring the Olympics and what's going on over there.
I mean, if you just want to give a quick 2 minute wrap, we could talk about the medal count. You know, right now, China's currently leading with the medal count with a total of 64 medals. The U.S., they're right behind China with 63, and Great Britain is coming in third with a total of 43 medals. And I know I just want to give a big props. You know, I'm from the Virginia area. I want to give a big props out to the Flying Squirrel, a.k.a. Gabby Douglas, the 16-year-old phenom from Virginia Beach, Virginia. I mean, this girl has done an excellent job, and she just made history. She's the first African-American to take home the title. And, I mean, I know Virginia, we're very proud of Gabby, and, you know, I know it's going to be a big parade for her once she get home. And I just want to take my hat off to Gabby Douglas because she really did do her thing out there this year.
Yeah, Gabby definitely did. And we talked a little bit about her. Shout out to her and the U.S. team getting the gold medals, man. I mean, you know, you're looking at China, someone usually one of our toughest rivalries when it comes to the Olympics, man. We actually talked a little bit earlier about Russia. You know, this past Saturday, it seemed like the USA was playing Russia and everything. You know, I thought Rocky IV was going to come on later on that night, Sloan right. against Drago. You know, it was one of those weekends. But, you know, we pulled it out. U.S. pulled it out. What else you got for us over there? How about the U.S. Olympic men's team over there? Talk to me.
Oh, the U.S. Olympic men team. I mean, you know, we had some tough games when you're talking about the basketball. We had some tough games. We had some pretty stiff competition. But once the second half, the talent for the U.S. is overwhelmed. They had a tough game against Argentina after we started blowing them out. They started taking cheap shots at the U.S. So I'm quite sure the U.S. men are going to be focused. Another guy I just want to take my hat off and give props to, although he did come in third place, that's Tyson Gay. I mean, we know there's no one around here that's going to beat Usain Bolt in that 100-meter track and field, but I got to take my hat off. And I just want America to know how fast that Usain Bolt. Tyson Gay, ran a time of 9.8 seconds in 100-meter. Now, that's blazing, Lamar.
Right.
Usain Bolt ran a 9.6. But just to give people an understanding, if Tyson Gay would have qualified with a time of 9.8, in any other Olympic final before 2008, he would have won the gold medal. That's just to give you a glance of how fast Usain Bolt is out there running.
Yeah, definitely, man. Shout out to Jamaica for taking home the women's and man's goals, 100 meters, man. Definitely appreciate your time. We're getting ready to go to commercial. But definitely stay tuned. When we come back from the commercial, going to have my man, Super Bowl champion, Dorsey Levins. We're going to talk about his little bit about his documentary, Bell Runner, is going to be premiering tonight at ATL, and what he's been up to, as well as what are the chances for the Packers to go back to the Super Bowl this year. Stay tuned, LATG Radio.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Ready for in-your-face sports? Want to talk about the topics that nobody else is willing to talk about? Either because they're too scared to touch them or just don't think it's the way to go. You're not going to be shy here. Tune in to Here's the Deal with Mega and Steel, featuring Ike Mega Griffin and Sydney Steel Justice. We've got the facts to back up the talk and invite you to join us every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern, just before the weekend on the Voice America Sports Channel. We tell it like it is.
What does building a family mean to you? Nobody has experienced the pain and joy of family life in a way that Freddie Scott has. And his experiences in life, in sports, and business can help you create a successful family future. We'll cover many aspects of family building and management with a focus on fatherhood. Men and women want their families to succeed during these tough times. Our show will give you hope for the future and practical tools for a successful family. Tune in to the Freddie Scott Show, Tackling the Game of Life, Mondays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports,
Voice America Sports.
You are tuned in to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. If you wish to ask a question of Lamar or his guest, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or you can send an email to lamar@lifeafterthegame.com. Now, back to our program.
This is Lomas Brown, former Detroit Lion and current NFL analyst, and this is my Life After the Game.
Welcome back, LATG Radio. This segment brought to you by School of the Legends. Big shout out to my man West. Came to the NFLPA chapter meeting last night, rocking a fresh visor he gave me for the golf course. So definitely trying to get a nice 85 game in when we get going. So definitely make sure you check out School of the Legends, www.schoolofthelegends.com. Connect with NFL players, fans, athletes, and coaches. An exclusive coaching video from NFL players and football training from NFL greats, include myself. Check out my School of the Legends page at www.sotl.com/Lamar Campbell. And make sure you check out my next guest, Dorsey Levins, Super Bowl champ. I hate when he wears a Super Bowl ring. That's the closest I probably ever got to one in my days. But always a pleasure to have you on, man. Always a pleasure to have you on, Dorsey, man. Thanks for joining us today on Life After the Game.
Oh, lucky, man. I appreciate you having me on, as always.
Oh, man, always a pleasure, man. So we got a big night tonight, man. You're going to be previewing your film, or premiering your film, I should say, Bell Run. You know, it started out as a smaller documentary, but now, man, you made it into a full-length film. Tell our listeners a little bit about it, man, and how you, what made you decide to make it a full-length film?
Really, just all the information that was readily available. You know, originally it started off as a 24-minute piece. But there are a couple of guys that I didn't interview that I wanted to interview, some guys that people would recognize, so I kind of went back to the drawing table, interviewed some more guys, got some more information. You know, it's been in the media a lot more now with, you know, really after Junior Seau committed suicide,
right,
people really, really started to pay attention to it. But even before that, you know, the plan was to make it longer. We went to some networks, and they were like, you know, we love what you got, but they wanted, you know, something, a feature length, which is, you know, in television is just, you know, 45 to 47 minutes.
Right.
So we went back to the drawing table. Really had enough footage for like a 2-hour show, but we edited it and just try to give you the juiciest, meatiest parts of the interviews, you know, and just let guys tell their stories.
Right. And if it's anything like our interview, man, I know me and you had a great interview. Me and you go a long while back. For all you guys don't know, you know, this guy took me under his wing when I was a young man, when I went to Miami. I really experienced Miami with this man right here on the radio. I didn't know. I thought Miami was just, you know, the beach and Wet Willies, right? endorsing those guys took me to Miami 1 year, and I really experienced it. So we go way, way back, man. We have some great conversations, man. Me and you had a great conversation, but, you know, we have some great people in the document as well. You know, of course, our boy Ryan Stewart, you know, Takeo Spikes, Deion Grant, Jamie Dukes, you know, Jamal Lewis, Ellis Hobbs. I mean, Ryan, the list goes on and on and on and on. What was one of the common themes, man, in all the interviews that we did? What was one of the common things that you heard about concussions and what it meant to us and what we didn't know at the time?
I think that the most common theme was that guys just didn't know what a concussion was. You know, we thought that you had to be unconscious or you had to be, you know, wobbly, staggering, you know, about to fall down to have a concussion. We thought every time you got your bell rung or you got a dinger, you know, that was the norm. That's what we had been taught to learn or taught, you know, while we were playing. And we're coming to find out that every time that happens, that's an actual concussion.
Right.
And that's, you know, for most of us, I would say probably 99% of us, you want to exclude some kickers and punters, that happened to us on a regular basis during the game because that's just the way it was.
Right.
And when you hear that stat and you look at some of the guys, you know, with long-term health issues, especially brain issues, with traumatic brain injury, you're like, man, you know, this is new information. We're just finding this stuff out in the last 2 or 3 years. And I'm like, man, everybody needs to know about this.
Right.
Because we were playing and we had no idea what the long-term ramifications were.
Mm-hmm.
So now everybody needs to know this from all the way from Little League all the way up to the pro level that this is not to be played with. You know, and, you know, we wear helmets and we think that those helmets are going to protect us. So you go in there with reckless abandon trying to lay somebody out. You know, that's a tough guy mentality. We were brought up and raised in that type of environment playing football, but now we're realizing how dangerous that really is. So, you know, basically, man, the goal was to just, you know, create some awareness, let people know what's really going on and what's really happening with some of the lives of some of these guys who are affected by all these injuries.
I know, deeply affected, man. I mean, we look at the tragic loss of Junior Seau. You know, we lost, you know, a couple of my idols, you know, that played the game. And Andre Waters, you know, my idol in Philadelphia Eagles, growing up as a Philadelphia Eagle, to take his life as well. And, you know, when we got to learn more about what concussions were, you know, your teammate, William Henderson, in our NFC, the Black and Blue Division career, I guarantee he gave me a concussion about 2 or 3 times a game. But it was just a bell rung. As you said, it was our bell was rung. We didn't know exactly what a concussion was at that time. It was give me some smelling salt. How many fingers do I have up? And let me go back in the game and try to get him back for knocking me out. And it's easy to say that now. You know, I know there's a lot of critics out there that'll say, well, we knew what we were getting into. And I'll be the first to tell you, no, I didn't know that CTE could possibly take 15 years off my life. No, I didn't know that I would forget my keys after I put them down 3 minutes before I put them down and walk out the door without my keys all the time. I mean, these are the little things that we laugh off now, but are serious industries, man, that can lead to suicide, that can lead to depression, that can lead to all these serious issues, man. Tell us a little bit about when did you realize, when you first realized what a concussion was, were you, like most players, thought back to all the concussions that you probably had during your entire football career?
First thing I did was question the doctor, because I was like, you know, and which is pretty ignorant on my part, because he's a doctor. He specializes in traumatic brain injury. Dr. Guskowitz, the head trainer at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, hey, man, that can't be right. That can't be right. It happens way too often for that to happen. You know, and going back, I did a charity event with one of my old teammates, the gravedigger, Gilbert Brown, about 2 months ago. And William Henderson was there, and we talked about this concussion stuff, because I know Big Will was a bruiser in there. He'd go in there and try to dig you out.
Yes, he would.
He told me his last meeting with his neurologist was like, I don't even know how you function from day to day looking at your scans. That's how bad it is. But everything is working right now, though. You know, his cognitive skills are in place, but his neurologist is like, listen, I don't even know how you function in day to day from what I'm seeing from your test results. You know, as far as the critics, man, I really just, it's not about them. You know what I mean? So I really don't pay them any attention. This fight is for us, the brotherhood, the guys that I played with, the guys that I played against, the guys that are like brothers to me. You know, like you said, we go way back. We partied, we worked out, we did it all. You know, we like brothers. And these are the guys that I'm fighting for. So the critics, you know, they say ignorance is bliss. They can be as happy as they want to be.
Right.
So it's not about them, you know, and it's not about you guys knew what you were getting into. No, we didn't. We didn't know. At the end of the day, we didn't know. there were some things that, we knew we might be limping around a little bit. You know, you might have to get a knee replaced or a hip, you know, the older you get. But dementia in your early 30s? Nah, yeah. Dog. Nobody signed up for that.
Nobody signed up for that. I couldn't agree with you more.
It's not about revenge on the NFL. It's about taking care of your own. You know
right.
what I'm saying? Listen, guys are messed up, and guys are messed up because of this sport. So take
right.
care of them. Do the right thing. I think there's a moral obligation. You know,
indeed.
Forget about the lawsuit. There's a moral obligation to take care of these guys, and it's not happening.
Right. It's not happening. I definitely want to get more info about where people can follow Bell Run, man. But I got a question for you, man. Last week, the NFL launches the wellness program for players. I'm glad you brought up the NFL. And outside agency, we're running an NFL lifeline. You know, literally 2 days after they released the wellness program, you get Titans player O.J. Murdoch that commits suicide. And the ironic thing is, if he actually probably would have went to his rookie camp, he may have had his information to call and possibly save his life. I don't know if it was from concussions. I don't know if it was from CTE. That's yet to be proven. But what do you think as far as the NFL? It seems like they're trying to clean up what they've messed up in a lot of areas right now. And I work with the NFL and the NFLPA on numerous advantages for transitional players. However, as prideful players, man, what do you think? What do you think they have to do to get us to actually pick up the phone and make that phone call? Would Junior Seau have made that phone call? Would Andre Woods have made that phone call? What do you think about the new NFL program, wellness program?
I think it's a great step. Like you said,
right.
They're trying to do a lot of things retroactively because we're finding out more than we've ever known before.
Right.
All these things that they're putting into place, I think, is great. But there were some things that weren't in place not too long ago, and guys are still suffering from that. That's
mm-hmm.
what they need to take care of. And one of the guys that I interviewed on the documentary you'll see tonight, and your feature is running, a lot too. You talk about you and Andre Waters in the documentary. But a kid, John Abadi, who never even got on the field. He was like injured reserve 1 year, then a fringe guy. So he never really made it. But he told me he called, one of the head specialists at the NFL to try to get some help. Like 4 or 5 times, dude never returned his call.
Mm. Common story.
And right. And I'm like, really? Like, you're just going to leave guys out to hang? But so, it's great what the NFL's doing. But I think now, there's a lot of stories coming out. And guys, you look at the documentary, guys are bitter because they're left out to dry with no help.
Right.
So
it's
a step in the right direction, but there's still so much more that needs to be done.
Right. We got about 2.5 minutes left, man. Definitely tonight, Levin's Communication and National Productions present. And it's a private screening, so don't email me, don't Twitter me. We're all four there, full house at the Plaza Theater. But definitely want to talk about what you're doing now, man. I'm a member of the Atlanta Film Festival, one of the board members, man. You are definitely taking a step in the film industry, man. I know you were recently over in London, man, taking some things over there. Tell our listeners a little bit about what you had going on over there in London and what's the next step for Levin's Communications.
Man, I got cast in a movie called Gridiron UK. It's about mm-hmm. American football in England, in Crewe, England, to be specific. It's about an hour and a half train ride from London. And this cat, it's Gary Delaney. It's his story. He wanted to start a football team in Crewe in 1985. So, he got his boys together, and they got a team, and it's really his life story. It's a comedy. It's hilarious. I'm the only American in the whole cast. So that was cool. The Brits are real, real, real cool people, man. I got nothing but love for all of them. They showed me
right. So
much love while I was down there, man. We had a good time, but the goal is the movie's supposed to premiere in London in October, the same weekend the Rams and the Patriots play at Wembley Stadium.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, definitely. The American release hasn't been determined yet. I think they're going to try to figure out how well it does in London before they bring it over to the States.
Right.
But that's it right now, man. Levin's Communications, we're working on turning Strip into a movie. That's probably the next big project. Just taking it day by day, man, it doesn't...
Right.
As much as I would like for everything to happen tomorrow and have 10 blockbusters on deck, it don't work like that. So just plugging away, man. Things are coming along great.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's great news, man. I'm looking forward to tonight, man. Congratulations on all your success. I'm looking forward to the documentary. Can't wait to see you tonight, man. If you're looking for my man at Dorsey, at Twitter, at Dorsey Lemons, make sure you check him out, man. Bell Run will be coming your way. Dorsey, a pleasure, man. I know you have a lot to do before the movie tonight, brother. I will see you tonight, man. Appreciate you for coming on today.
No worries, man. Thanks for coming out tonight, too, as well.
No doubt, man. I can't wait to the talk, man. I can't wait to the talk. You be safe.
All right, later.
All right. That was my man, Super Bowl champ, Dorsey Levins. I'm sure had that Super Bowl ring on tonight to rub it in my face a little bit. But it's all right. It's all right. Hey, man, definitely a great idea with Bell Run, man. Definitely looking forward to seeing that. If you're looking for concussions, man, you need info on concussions. You know, definitely Google it. If you're a mother, your father out there worried about concussions, man, you know, feel free to give us a call, 1-888-346-9144. We have tons of concussion information for you. I'm definitely one of the front runners, one of the ambassadors on concussion prevention. Stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have another Green Bay Packers Super Bowl champion, Eric Matthews, joining us. Stay tuned, LATG Radio.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
If you want to talk about the East Coast sports scene, particularly from the Southeast, make sure you tune in to the Jeff Owen Show every Tuesday. Yeah, we'll talk about some of the other teams and news that's out there, but host Jeff Owens and co-host Tasha Humphrey know the inside and out of the Georgia college sports world, and they were born there, raised there, and still live the scene. We'll talk about every sport imaginable. Tune in on Tuesday at 7 p.m. East Coast time, 4 p.m. in the West, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Looking for the best show about horse racing and handicapping? Want to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with John Englehart, racing's regular guy, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies handicapping website. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for calling in. Winning Ponies with John Englehart is live Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You are tuned in to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. If you wish to ask a question of Lamar or his guest, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or you can send an email to Lamar at lifeafterthegame.com. Now, back to our program.
This is Kurt Schilling, and this is my Life After the Game.
Welcome back, LATG Radio. Just finished up a great interview with my man Dorsey Levins about his documentary Bell Run. Had a great discussion about concussions and what we did and did not know in our career as football players. This segment is brought to you by Men Stopping Violence, working together for a change. Men Stopping Violence is a social change organization dedicated to ending men's violence against women. And we work locally, nationally, and internationally to dismantle belief systems, social structures, and institutional practices that oppress women and children and dehumanize men themselves. So fellas, all my stand-up guys out there, give them a, make sure you check them out at www.menstoppingviolence.org. I'm a proud member of Men Stopping Violence. Be on the lookout for our gala. October 27th, we'll be honoring the great Congressman John Lewis. And it's going to be a great time, so be on the lookout for that. Make sure you check them out on Twitter at Men Stopping Violence. Make sure you hit me up on Twitter at Life After T Game. And while you're at it, go to iTunes to download our podcast, Life After the Game on Podcast. Yes, there's an app for that. Make sure you check us out. Catch up with all our old shows and all our old interviews. Great interview with Dorsey. Great interview with Dorsey. You know, talking to some of our guys in here, my producer and my engineer, and there was a lot that we didn't know. And I joke about concussions a lot sometimes. We talk about losing our keys and leaving the key, but it's the little things, man. I have two cups in the house forget which one is full and grab the empty cup. Just not thinking, man. So it's definitely a big issue, man. Looking forward to the Bell Run documentary tonight. I guess I got some air time. My man Dorsey says, so I'm definitely looking forward to that, talking about my idol, Andre Waters. So coming up, my man Eric Matthews, another Super Bowl champion from that team where Dorsey's going to be giving me a call. We're going to be talking about E-Matt Affleck. And I have one of the hardest hitters in the NFL. He's going to be joining us a little later, Steve Atwood. He's going to be calling in about 2:43. So look, definitely looking forward to hearing from him. Yeah, man, concussions are a big deal. Let me tell you guys a little bit about the concussions symptoms. Get smelling salts. And all NFL coaches have a great line. Are you hurt or are you injured? Are you hurt or are you injured? If you're hurt, that means you can still go back out there and play. if you're injured, that means you can't go out there and play. But you don't want to be injured. You don't want to be in that training room. Because the coach will come in the training room, and if you're in the training room, that means you're not on the field. Let me tell you guys a great story about Mark Carrier, another safety I played with. He said, "Campbell, do you know how fortunate you are to be in the NFL?" I said, "Nah, Mark. How fortunate am I?" He said, "Come in on your day off on a Tuesday and see what happens on Tuesday." Now, Tuesday is usually our days off. When I was in the Lions, we lost a lot, so we usually practiced on Tuesday. But when we had our occasional win, you know, after those first 2 years, we had a Tuesday off. See you on Wednesday. That was where everybody wanted to hear after the win on Sunday. Coach, come in the locker room. Great game. See you on Wednesday. Come in and watch film Monday morning. You live, you get your treatment, practice on Wednesday. Coming on Tuesday morning, in the weight room, and they bring about five guys in with gym bags, all defensive backs. So Tuesdays, when everyone's supposed to be off, for those of you that don't know, that's when they bring guys in to take your job. They bring tryouts in. So when you come back on Wednesday, your boy's locker next to you could be empty with another name. Or your locker. When they released me, cut time was at 4 o'clock. The Lions called me at 3:58 on my birthday. Remember like it was yesterday. Almost didn't answer the phone. "Oh yeah, man, it's all right. You guys can release me. I had a greatest preseason I've ever had. Knew I was going to get picked up. Now I'm on the radio. Have mercy." Just like that, fellas. Just like that. Well, on the line, hold, I'm going to bring in another Super Bowl champ who I'm sure is going to wear his ring tonight to Bell Run Premier and rub it in my face, my man Eric Matthews. E, thanks for joining us today, my man. What's going on?
What's going on, Lamar? Everything good with you?
Man, everything good, man. Everything good. Just had a great conversation with Dorsey, man, about Bell Run, man. And, you know, you played on both sides of the ball, man. You're one of those track guys, man. You can play DB. You can play corner. You can play wide receiver, man. Tell us a little about, man, what it was like for you, man. When you took that hit, did you know you had a concussion, or was it just simply that we got our bell rung?
I just got our bell rung. I never knew I had a concussion. You know, you felt dizzy for a minute, and you went back, come on the sideline for a minute, and go back out there. You didn't know. You know, that was just something right. hard-nosed football. You get dizzy right. a little bit, you're going to take some good hits.
Right, definitely, yeah. definitely, man. Definitely, man. Well, I really want to get into EMAC Athletics, man. We had a chance to do some great football camps with you now, man. You got your Super Bowl ring. You've definitely leveraged that, man, to a great career after football, man. Tell us about EMAC Athletics, man, and what's next in store for you.
EMAC Athletics is pretty much something that I enjoy working with kids, and I want to continue doing that. But on the sense of I coach high school track, and I participated in high school football in Florida for 6 years, and I saw how our youth was coming up. You know, undeveloped, the fourth fundamental was gone. So I said, if I was able to do anything or coach again, I want to do it on a youth level so we can get that fundamentals back to those kids, you know, where it's very important. Because, you know, now high school is like college now. If you don't have it, you lost. Right. You lost in the trade. So I started EMAC Athletics where we did fundamental camps, and I bring some of the NFL guys out, and we teach the fundamentals.
Right. Right, definitely. I mean, we had a great camp at the time we had a chance to spend together, man. The kids really have a good time, man. You know, a lot of times in the modern media right now, all we hear about is the bad things that people are doing in the community, man. But you're definitely a pillar. An opportunity to work with you on that camp, man, was definitely a privilege and an honor. So I definitely appreciate you bringing me out, man. But let's get down to brass tacks, something that me and you talk trash about all the time. What are your Packers going to do this year, E?
My pack go, you know, we're always going, you know, come up to the top, you know. And one thing that hurt us last year was the safeties and the DBs a little bit. We didn't have no pass coverage in the defensive ends, you know.
Right,
we weren't
right.
putting no rush on the quarterback, and our defensive backs was getting killed last year. I'm surprised we went that far without right. getting beat bad, you know. And the Giants, they pretty much saw that we was weak in that backfield, you know. Right. So they took advantage of it. You can see. I mean, big plays, killed us the whole game. They picked up a couple of DB that hopefully that'll keep that. You know, Roger's going to do his thing on the offensive side, so I'm not right. worried about that part. Our defense kind of gave up too many big plays last year.
Right, right. Now, let me ask you this, man. Me and you played in the black and blue division when Tampa Bay was still a part of it. So was the Packers, my Lions, Chicago, Minnesota, and Tampa Bay. The black and blue division. Very, very proud division. The Bears made some moves this year, E. The Bears made some moves this year. What do you think about Brandon Marshall hooking back up with Jay Cutler up there in Chi-Town?
That's going to be something to see. Like you said, the Bears always been on that one position shy from you know, doing something right. big. And that might be it right there. I really think that might be it. As always, the Bears get to the playoff and something wasn't clicking there. I mean, it's always been something. And that, you know, and they've been, each year has been getting better and better. But I think that might be a good click for them to see what they're going to do with it.
Right. I mean, I think we may arguably, other than, you know, Minnesota definitely fell off. If we can keep our boys out of jail up there in Detroit, we'll be okay. We just got to make sure we keep them out of jail. But we could have a really tough division up there in the NFC North, man. I think there's going to be some great games coming out of there, coming out of the NFC North this year.
Yeah, and I think our division is so competitive. Just the rival games and stuff are so big in our division and stuff. So that's going to even make it even better, too.
Right. Right. Well, E, I know you're doing personal training. I mean, you got the football camps, man. Please let our listeners know where they can find your website, man. What's the best way to get a hold of you, man, so they can get some of that Super Bowl pedigree coaching?
Well, they can go to www.ematathletics, that's ematathletics.com, ematathletics.com. And I'm on Facebook and I'm on Twitter. You know me and you always tweeting back and forth.
Yeah, no question, man. I know you're busy, man. You have a lot going on, bro. So I'm looking forward to seeing you tonight at the Bell Run Documentary. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be like a reunion. E, thanks so much, man. I know you're busy, man. Thanks for coming in, of calling in today, bro.
Most definitely. Appreciate it.
Thanks, fam. My man, Super Bowl champion, Eric Matthews. Again, we have two Super Bowl rings coming to the house tonight. Let me tell y'all how hard it is to get to the Super Bowl. I came from Wisconsin, man. We came from a winning organization. I didn't lose any games my senior year in high school. Got to Wisconsin, went to a bowl game every year. I didn't take losing too well. I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't know how to handle a loss. You know, on a professional level, they're professionals. They handle it a little different. I was extremely upset when we took a loss, you know. And I said all the time, man, my mom was watching. I can do a lot of things, but you're not going to run me over. You're not going to score a touchdown on when my mom watching. Not in front of moms. That wasn't going to happen. That was my end all be all. As long as my mom was watching, I had some up. Oh, I'm watching today, baby. She, you know, sometimes she never watched. She didn't want to see her baby get hurt. When she told me she was watching, I had some of my best games. Not because coach got on me. Not because the defense was right. Because mama was watching. And I knew everybody at church on Sunday was going to get on mom if I had a bad game. Oh, you know how you like to hate, right? Oh, I saw your grandson got beat yesterday for a touchdown. So, you know, it was always good to make a big play, you know, get a phone call from mom to know that she was on point, you know, watching the game and doing some things. So shout out to moms for keeping me tight, man. Shout out to moms for keeping me tight. But yeah, man, two Super Bowl winners back to back. I got some good news for y'all, man. Got another Super Bowl winner. Gonna be calling in briefly, man. My man Steve Atwater. Now, for my generation, Steve Atwater was Ed Reed for my generation. Ed Reed is, of course, interception king. But when I mean you're talking about safeties, Steve Atwater about 6'3½, 235. And he would knock your brain. I don't know, you guys probably don't remember Christian Okoye. You remember Christian Okoye solo? My engineer solo. He said he remember Christian Okoye. Christian Okoye was a beast. He was running through the NFL that year until that day at Mile High Stadium. I never forget Monday Night Football like it was yesterday. Steve Atwater. Many men to hold a hit that was heard around the nation. Even now when I sit in the NFLPA meetings, the nicest guy off the field. Like Troy Polamalu. Nicest dude off the field. But Steve Atwater got on that field, he was a beast. I couldn't believe he was so nice when I first met him. I never forget my first Super Bowl when we went to Houston for the Super Bowl. Not my first Super Bowl, but went to hang out in Houston. And they said, man, look at that dude. I said, man, that's a big dude. What, he play linebacker? They said, nah, man, that's Steve Atwater. He plays safety. And I was like, damn, that's big-ass safety. I don't know if I can play safety anymore in this league. That's what safety's looking like. But since I done talked him up, seems like my man Steve Atwater just called in, so I'm going to bring him in. The hit heard around the world. Steve Atwater, what's going on, fam?
Hey, Lamar, what's up with you, baby?
Hey, man, just giving the youngins out there some background on you, man. You know, I tell the cat before Ed Reed, that was Steve Atwater, man. I was trying to get the youngins a little background on what you got going on out there, man. What's up with the way you played the game, man? You called us on a break, man. Hopefully you can stay on with us, man. We're getting ready to go to break for about 30 seconds, man. I definitely want you to stay on hold, man. But everybody, Everybody stay tuned. We come back. The hit heard around the world, Steve Atwood. We're going to talk a little bit about what he's doing right now, what's going on with his Denver Broncos, and what he thinks. Does he think Peyton Manning will go farther than Tim Tebow this year in the playoffs? Stay tuned with LATG Radio.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Sports and medicine go hand in hand. Quite simply, if you aren't up to your game health-wise, you won't be up to your game on the field. That's where Bruce the Sports Doc comes in. Dr. Bruce Grossinger uses his medical training and experience to bring you a link between sports and medicine, from the latest advances and treatments to discussion behind the injuries of the week. Bruce the Sports Doc and his team of guest experts are here each week to lay it on the line in terms that you can understand. Tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. This Is It Sports is an engaging talk program that includes you, the experts, and sports, all moderated by Coach Carl Hargrave. We'll talk about what's going on in the general sports world, collegiate and professional, take a look at youth-oriented sports, athletic development and sportsmanship, faith, and where it has its place in sports, along with a lively discussion with Coach Carl every week. Tune in to This Is It Sports with Coach Carl Hargrave every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You are tuned in to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. If you wish to ask a question of Lamar or his guest, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or you can send an email to lamar@lifeafterthegame.com. Now, back to our program.
I'm Keyshawn Johnson, currently NFL analyst for ESPN. You're listening to Life After the Game.
Welcome back to Life After the Game. This segment brought to you by Success in Real Estate. Whether you're looking to buy or lease real estate in the Atlanta area, Circle of Success Real Estate is where you want to go. Make sure you check them all on the web at www.successofrealestate.com. Thanks for everyone coming back. LATG Radio, I have the pleasure of having 8-time Pro Bowl selection, 2-time first-team All-Pro, 2-time Super Bowl champion, Steve the Smiling Assassin Atwater with me today. Steve, thanks for I know you're a busy man. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Lamar, how you doing? Thank you for having me on.
Hey, I'm good, man. I'm good. As I said, man, for the commercial break, I was educating these cats about, you know, how you played the game, man. And we had a great conversation with Dorsey Levins earlier, man. You know, Bell Rung, his documentary about concussions, is premiering tonight downtown Atlanta. And just want to get your thoughts, man. It's one of the hardest hitting safeties ever to play the game, man. Did you know we all got our bell rung? We all took it as something that we dealt with playing the game, but something we did. Every time we hit the football field, we got our bell rung. Were you surprised when you realized, you know, and I know you and Junior say I were very, very close friends. Were you surprised that the hits actually had that type of toll on us once the information became readily available?
You know what? I really was. You know, I had no idea back when I was playing that, you know, as many guys as that have come out would have all the issues that they have with the depression, the anxiety, the headaches, the isolation. You know, I never knew all of that. And once I retired, of course, you know, we all, you know, go through things. Even people who don't play football, you know, they get depressed too.
Right.
But you know, just the number of times it's come up has really, really been alarming. Excuse me, it's really been alarming. And you know, we meet once a month. We just had our meeting last night, Lamar. You know, you were there.
Right.
And, you know, when you can at least get together with some guys you play with, you know, however frequently it is, once a month, once every couple months, you know, you see that guys are have different things going on, and mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be the isolation that a lot of people have taken the route to do in terms of just, you know, isolate themselves from everyone and
right.
Separate themselves from their families. And, you know, you know, it's just a network out here that cares about, you know, us guys, and, you know, we all have to stick together and make sure that we don't get too depressed.
Right, right. And, I mean, you hit it right on the head, Steve. You know, a transition is tough for a lot of guys, man. Everybody, we're very prideful as football players. You know, that's something that I think that's in our DNA. And a lot of times, you know, we can actually help guys out if we're actually there, if guys are willing to make that phone call. You know, as a Pro Bowler, as a two-time Super Bowl champ, for all the guys out there listening, players, high school, college, NFL, and just people that may not understand, tell us a little bit about how your transition was, you know, out of the game with all the success that you had.
Well, when I finished playing ball, I started investing in real estate, and you know did pretty well in real estate, and got my real estate license. Now I have my broker's license. Recently had a property management company that I sold. Unfortunately, I hooked up with a guy, invested some money with a guy back in 2004, 2005 here in Atlanta, and he ended up stealing a good chunk of my cash.
Right.
Then he killed himself in prison, and a lot of my buddies were in that investment as well. But
right.
It's a lesson, hard lesson learned that there's nothing easy out there. You know, the guy was offering quick results and returns that were much higher than the market rate, and I have a degree in finance and banking, and I started working for the company. And just got to a point to where everything wasn't adding up, and me and a buddy of mine, Blaine Bishop, we really kind of blew the cover on it because we started asking so many questions,
right?
And
right.
We attempted to withdraw our money, so that's a whole other story. But fortunately, I'm good, I'm okay, and Lord has blessed me, and hopefully. Former guys don't have to go through that because that's enough to make somebody do something crazy too in itself.
Right.
But we really just got to take ourselves where we don't even think about doing those types of things, especially when you think about the people that we could harm. Our children, our friends, our families. I saw Junior's mom on TV, and it really broke my heart. How much she loved him and. He committed suicide, and she's kind of left hanging now. So, that's the last. Nobody should ever go that route.
Right.
Please, whoever's out there, if you have an issue, man, just go talk to someone. The transition. It can be tough, especially I played 11 years in the league. I know some guys played 15 years in the league, and basically. From the time I was 8 years old, I played football every year of my life except for 1 or 2 years.
Wow.
And it just becomes in our blood. And, in school, I got my degree, fortunately, but a lot of guys go to college, they don't get a degree. And once they play football for 10, 15 years, the people who didn't play football, they're out in the workforce getting that education and getting that experience. And then when we come out of the league, we don't have those same skills. We do have skills, but we have to make sure that we can find someone who can take advantage of them and utilize them. A lot of times the transition is tough because we aren't prepared, that's what makes it tough for a lot of people because a lot of times they don't think there's anything for them out there. When in reality, there is something for every one of us.
Right, right. I mean, you're definitely a model, man. Definitely congratulations. We all go out there and we learn lessons about that transition, man. But you're definitely a model of somebody that's taking it the right way, man, and doing a great thing. And speaking of transitions, man, I can't let you go without asking you. Transitioning from Tim Tebow to Peyton Manning, out there with your Super Bowl champ winning quarterback, John Elway up there in the front office, man. What do you think your Broncos are going to do this year?
Well, I am extremely happy. With the way that they're going about things this year. I'm a Tim Tebow fan. I love watching him play in college. I was happy when Denver got him. I actually wish they would have kept him and gave him a little time to develop. But since he's going to New York, I won't have to defend him as much. but
right.
I wish him the best. And, I think Peyton's going to have a really good year. They're stocking up the defense. They signed Keith Brookin, I think, just a couple of days ago. And to go along with Von Miller, Elvis Dumervil, I think they got a chance to do some really good things.
Right, right. Now, Steve, I'm on with Steve Atwater, 1-888-346-9144. One more question, man, as I know you got to go. Christian Okoye, the Nigerian Nightmare, trampled all who came in his way. When you were getting ready to play Christian Okoye that game, player to player, what did you say to yourself you was going to do to him when you got the chance?
Well, Dennis Smith and I, you know, I can't tell this story without leaving out my man Dennis Smith, you know.
Right.
we were in practice looking at, well, in the film room looking at film, and we said, man, this guy just run over everybody. And, you know, we prided ourselves on, you know, not really letting guys run for 100 yards on us.
Right.
So, you know, we say, hey, man, we get a chance, we got to just go up in there full speed, see what happens. And when you know, I was up for the task, and you know, of course it worked out. But you know how it can go. It could have went either way. If he had caught me the right way, you know, it'd be a different story.
Low man wins.
Yeah, low man wins. So I had the leverage on him, and it ended up working out pretty good. But you know, I have a ton of respect for Christian Okoye, man. He's a great guy, great football player.
Right. Well, I got a ton of respect for you, Steve, man. Thanks so much for coming on the show today. I think your story is going to help a lot of guys out there listening, man, and make the transition to understand that, you know, the greats go through it. Everyone goes through it, and that, you know, there's actually a support system out there that can help us out, man. Steve, thanks so much, man. I know you got to go, bruh. Always a pleasure, man. Welcome back anytime, man. I definitely want to get you back on when the Broncos come back down here to play the Falcons on Monday night. So I'll definitely be reaching back out to you, bruh.
All right. That'll work, Lamar. Thanks for having me on, man. Have a great day.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, bye-bye.
Steve Atwater, man. Get that man his bus in his Hall of Fame. Shout out to the Hall of Famers this weekend. Forgot about the Hall of Famers, man. Shout out to the Hall of Fame class, 2012. Get my man Steve Atwater. Get my man Charles Zulu Haley in the Hall of Fame, man. Charles got 5 Super Bowl rings. 5. The media votes, you know, I've always been a proponent that the players should choose who goes in the Hall of Fame, not the media. That's neither here nor there. I guess now that I am the media, maybe one day I'll go ahead and get a chance to vote for my man Zulu. But get those guys in, man. We got about 1 minute left. Definitely want to shout out to my man Engineer Solo, giving us some love today, man. Appreciate you coming in. Taking care of us. My producer, Brandon Robinson, coming in. Smurf, Anthony Smurf Plummer, came in with the sports report. Definitely want to thank my guests, Dorsey Levins, Eric Matthews, and Steve Atwater, man. And got about 10 seconds left, man. I want to give up my Have Mercy moment of the weekend, man. Have Mercy moment, Olympic handball. And that's all I have to say about that. Have mercy. Tune in next Tuesday, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, LATG Radio. Always have the perfect state of mind for success. See you next week.
Thanks again for joining Lamar Campbell for Life After the Game. Be sure to listen to our program every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel. May the coming week be one of greatness in your life.